At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, here we go. The only podcast that's intercontinental when we eat French toast. You know it, Ed. So let's get right into it. Big things happening on the podcast this week. We've hit some good milestones. The second year is going to be big for us. I know it. Fan club news. But before that, we got to get to some emails. Great one this week. Ed? Let's go.
So this one is brought to us by GoonGuard, GoonGuard.com. Check them out. Best mouth guards out there on the market. Check them out. They heat up in about 10 seconds, and you can talk with them. Chris, I'm going to kick it to you, buddy.
When the Twin right. Powers activate.
Let's do it.
There you go. Let's make it happen.
Our email this week comes from Jim. Jim. He asks, he says, "Hi. Not sure if you would read this email. I have a suggestion on growing your business. As a podcaster myself, you should do a random giveaways, hats, shirts, etc. Could be fun and beneficial." And he puts a little notation on the bottom. It's, I guess his podcast is called Hooked On Podcasts.
Oh, real cool.
Well, maybe we need to talk to Jim and bring him on.
Get him on the pod.
There we go.
Get him on the pod, man. Let's cross merchandise, man. Come on.
Put him on the list.
What do you think? Should we start? Let's go to the man that is the true north, the compass on the podcast. Thomas, what do you think? What do you think of that email?
I like it. And to be honest with you, we listen to any and all suggestions to improve the podcast. So, I mean, I know you've got more to say on this, but we're in the process of coming up with a few different things. I don't know if you want to explain it or not.
Yeah, real quick, we got a membership now that I'm sure within the week you'll see it. I'm sure I think it's live now, but I'm not sure how it bleeds out to everybody. It's 1973 Podcast Fan Club. There's four levels to be able to interact with the guys. Percentage off the merchandise store, 5%, 10%, 15%. And then if you go all in, you can get a free shirt of your choice. Plus, we got other things, interact with Chris, interact with the guys. And I believe the platinum membership, not only do you get everything that's involved, but you can come on the podcast with us and do a whole episode one of these weeks. So I believe that's in the works too. It should be bleeding out this week. I had the guys check beforehand. Doesn't seem to be live yet, but it's live on my end. So thoughts, guys, what do you think? I believe one
I think
of the
it's great.
Yeah. One of the
I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, first and foremost, first of all, we should have him on the podcast to cross merchandise with us. I mean, that would be a smart thing to do. And then I like the levels. I think that's great. I think we should definitely keep that going. I mean, who doesn't like free merch? So, and then to have like a kind of like a spontaneous guest on, I think that's pretty awesome. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I believe the gold package, you'll be able to interact with Chris and hook up with him for some gaming online and also be able to send in a video message that we will show on the podcast. That's all direct messaging, and you'll have access to ask us questions through one of the levels of the fan club membership. So pretty awesome. I thought it was pretty cool. Plus the store is also linked up finally. A couple of people had suggested that we link up the store. We had to wait in order to get to some YouTube stuff out of the way, and now the store is live. I believe all 15, 16 shirts are on there, including the Phantom shirt that our buddy Dennis was looking for. So it's on there. And if you want to join the fan club, you can get percentage off the store also. Plus all the little things here and there. And it's great. That's pretty much the round in the corner for year two to start fresh. I was hoping to get all that stuff started in the first of the second season. Anything else takeaways from that that you guys want to add?
Yeah, no, I'm excited about just being more interactive with our fans, whether it's 50 of them, a couple of hundred. We love, you know, any interaction. I do a little Fortnite, you know, we want to play some Fortnite together. I'll probably get smoked because I'm not that good at it. You know, my son's better than me, you know, that's all he does all day. But it'd be so cool to like just do stuff with fans like that, or having them on the show, I think would be freaking absolutely fantastic. So, Jim, you sent that email in, what, on the 19th, a few days ago, 4 or 5 days ago. I hope you're listening, buddy. You know, let's make things happen, my man.
Tom, you want to add to the suggestion you had about sending a video in for you to answer and you would respond directly?
Yeah, it can add that to one of the memberships once we decide which one we want to put it in. But I'll do a fantasy segment on one of the membership tiers. And if they have a fantasy question, I'll answer it. I'll either send them a video message or I'll post it somewhere on there with an answer.
And speaking of fantasy messages, if Brad wants to get in and hop on the side of fantasy videos for people that they want to see, he's all in on that. I know he is.
Yeah, what level of membership is it before I start sending feet pics?
we'll have to work on that. I think that's past platinum.
Yeah.
Ed, what's past platinum?
I don't know. Isn't that the double secret probation room?
I think
it's double secret probation.
It's a buried treasure after platinum.
Okay.
I say we do it free for any female viewers. How's that?
Yeah, if y'all want feet pics, drop a comment.
Tom, kid ad, bring us nothing. Back home.
I got nothing.
Good man. I love the
Yeah, I mean, bring us back. Back. Yeah, I mean, that went way out of control, way fast on that one, you know? Yeah.
So let's get right into it. Let's talk some wrestling. Big things. WrestleMania is 2 weeks away, I believe.
Yes.
And things are heating up. There's all kinds of things going on social media. Dustin Rhodes kind of weighed in this week. Thoughts on that, Bradford?
Man, I am single-handedly commenting on every post and inviting him to WrestleMania. I'm doing my part. So I encourage, if you watch this podcast and you like wrestling, go to Dustin Rhodes' social media and say, hey, man, come to WrestleMania. Just imagine the pop if, you know, Cody Rhodes is getting his butt whooped and all of a sudden Dustin comes running down the tunnel and saves the day. I heard he still has like 4 or 5 months left on his AEW contract, but you know, that he's getting into the mix. You know, I love how they're all using social media to talk shit to each other. It's like the age of technology now. They don't have to, you don't have to wait till Monday night or Friday night to cut a promo anymore. So I think that's pretty neat.
Tom, have you seen any of that going back and forth online?
Yeah, I've actually read that some of the wrestlers in WWE are a little mad because The Rock's getting preferential treatment and they all to abide by the PG. But by their PG ratings and stuff, they can't say anything and they're letting him swear. So they actually have had The Rock and he brought in his own writer and they have to submit his script to Fox. Actually has to go to Fox for SmackDowns because they're on SmackDowns on Fox and has to go to Fox. So Fox can have the censor button ready so they can censor when they have to. And I guess they did the same thing. They allowed Cody to respond to him and they wanted him to kind of not save face, but be able to show a little bit more, I guess, I don't want to say toughness, but he answered and responded back, I guess. And he had to get permission as well.
Yeah, it was pretty good. The response was pretty good. I liked it.
He said dick on the airways.
he was getting the crowd to chant like LDS or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Little Dwayne syndrome.
Yeah.
He said, it's a little dick syndrome. They didn't believe it.
Yeah.
Lucas was like, what's that, Dad?
I have a question for you guys. Okay, so I'm basically talk about this and then kick a question back to you guys. Okay, so here's the deal. This is the problem that they had happen in AEW, right? the yeah. other wrestlers getting offended. Okay, The Rock makes the house pop. That's what happens. Mm-hmm. He moves the needle. And the thing about it is that if you're all in and you're a company guy, that means that everybody's going to make more money if he's there. Why is your nose getting all out of joint? I don't understand that. Because the thing is, it's like if everybody's doing great, that means everybody's going to do great. You're going to make more money. I don't understand that. I'm going to kick it back to you guys because I don't really have a dog in this fight. I really haven't been paying too much attention. But I will say, I mean, why would you not want to have The Rock come back and get a pop like that and push WrestleMania? And you can drive more money through the revenues through pay-per-view.
Let's go with Chris. Chris, what do you think?
It's The Rock, dude. You know, I just...
What's wrong with The Rock, man?
Listen, The Rock, what? Back in the Attitude what? Era when I was watching, I was a huge fan. I'm sorry. I'm done with the old bogey.
What?
Go, dude. Go be fancy with your Versace shirts. Go on. Just go on. I'm done with The Rock. I'm sorry. I've been done with The Rock. Is he going to bring in money and fans? Yeah, I guess so. Big deal. Dude, WWE doesn't need The Rock. They don't need The Rock.
Not anymore.
Sorry. Thank you, Brad.
Yeah.
Well, it is. Who knows if he's going to be there past WrestleMania, right? Isn't that the thing?
That's the thing.
Special treatment, all this bullshit that comes with The Rock. It's just, I don't know. I'm just
he is saying though that it could be the end of the WWE PG era. The Rock has like finally broke them out of that. So if it whether he stays till SummerSlam or beyond, or we never see him again, if he broke us out of the PG era, yo, come on back, man. Go for it.
And don't forget they're moving to Netflix, so that might allow them to get out of the PG genre
and get a little bit more raw, as they say. No, wait, Tom's the only one that picked up on that. Jeez, I gotta get a comedy writer now. Ryan Goretz, anybody?
Only thing I want to see The Rock involved in, and I don't know if you guys seen this, but there's been all kind of rumors for WrestleMania that they want to bring back The Undertaker, Stone Cold, Cena. They want to somehow interject all these guys into that. I'd love to see The Rock get the biggest Stone Cold fucking stunner ever. And you know how he does that whole backflip when he gets
he sells pretty good it, that buddy.
He does.
He sells it.
I can already just seeing how stupid the WWE with these guys. They're gonna end up having them. It's gonna have some like the Grayson Waller effect or Austin Theory gonna do their talk show, and those three guys are gonna be in it, and they're gonna end up giving each one of their finishers get the big pop and.
Yeah,
I'd like to see him get involved with The Rock, but I just the way the WWE in the past has dealt with these guys, that's how I can see it happening.
Mm-hmm.
How about I heard Glenn Jacobs had already said he let it out that he's going to be at WrestleMania. So any surprises are always ruined because of guys can't keep their shit quiet on social media. So speaking of, I'll use Ed's term being all in so we can switch to AEW for a second. I was reading an article that they paid Sasha Banks, formerly known as, $10 million a year to come to AEW. Tom, is that a lot of money for her?
A lot of money. It's a lot of money, and I blame them. I don't blame her for taking that. That's,
right. Yeah. But the week after she debuted, they were already down 850,000 viewers average from so it's still dropping. She's not somebody that is a CM Punk. They're looking to replace what they were getting with Punk, and they're never going to get it because they didn't get it with Edge.
All of whatever talent they had the guys they had Vulture from WWE, Punk, Cody Rhodes, went back to WWE. Then they brought in Edge, who's a big star, but he's not big enough to carry the whole brand. He's old. Jericho's old. Christian's old. They're not carrying the brand. AEW, self-proclaimed, doesn't do storytelling. They just, you know, they come out, they do this real, you know, wrestling, whereas WWE sports entertainment, well, if you don't have a storyline to keep these things going, once Sting retired, that was keeping 850,000 people, you know, viewing week to week. who do you have now? Like Sasha Banks, I loved her in wrestling. I loved her in The Mandalorian. She's not going to carry the brand. It's not going to happen.
And
go ahead, Tom.
I don't know if this is storyline driven or not, but they've removed all of MJF's merchandise from the store.
Oh, I was just getting to that. Imagine if he came out of the crowd. I like the reaction when the guys come out of the crowd because you hear the music, it's planned. When you see somebody jump out of the crowd with sweats on or a hoodie on, it gives that allure of it's more off the cuff. You know what I mean? Do you get what I mean? That's running for a fight, they say on the way by a gorilla, hit my music. It makes no sense in a real presentation. If your buddy's getting beat up and you run it to help him out, you don't say, hit my theme music and my pyro before I go help him. So from that standpoint, I'd love to see one of those dog and pony shows at the end where, you know, it's a two count. Somebody comes in, it's another two count. Somebody comes in, another two, you know, like that. Especially where there's so much of a buildup to it. So I hope it doesn't disappoint, but I'll definitely be watching now that.
Do you think MJF is going to show up to WrestleMania?
Imagine.
Dude, amazing.
It's in Philly.
I would lose my shit. I would flip.
But a lot of people would know, right? That a lot of people would.
There's no way.
That's what you're going for.
That's too epic. That's too epic.
Ed?
So circling back. So here's the thing. We've talked about this before. I mean, if you watch women's wrestling, whether it be WWE or AEW, the crowd is silent.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing to it. It's yeah. And the thing is like, Brad brought this point up probably about what, 3 or 4 months ago. If they actually listened to the five of us, they wouldn't be in the problem that they're having right now.
It's true. This is true.
No, I mean, I'm being serious. I mean, like, the thing about it is, it's like, look, if you are an outside observer and you're actually watching the programming and you watch the women come out, you listen to what the crowd does, you watch what the crowd does from that back panel angle that they always hold it against the ring. There's nobody standing up. There's nobody that does anything like that. So why are you going to pay somebody $10 million? It doesn't make any sense. It's bad business. It's stupid. So I don't understand it. And the thing is like to let all of your talent go because you have the young dipshits in the back that are controlling everything and scaring everything away. You know, it's kind of like one of those problems. It's like, you know, the definition of insanity is repeating the same stuff over and over and over again, expecting different results. And that's what they're doing. It's nothing new.
The thing that kills me about the AEW situation is you're setting the bar to car crashes, and you know, even a car crash, it gets old after a while. It's like the Cirque du Soleil. They're the best tumblers in the world. They're the best circus acrobats. You've seen it. How many times do you go back to see it again? So with that being said, you're not telling stories. You're just creating havoc, and there's no story to havoc. And what do you do? Like the Darby Allin spot, was that really needed in this thing match? Like, what do you do? How do you come back from that? Off the ladder, through glass. And it's like, okay, you saw it. But what do you do next? If that's your dick, I mean, it just continues and continues. It's like the New Jack thing. He dives off one balcony. Now he dives off a second one. Now it's become his thing. Now the balconies get higher. The spot gets higher. The danger gets it never can go back. Once you let that horse out of the barn. So the storytelling, it's like, Tom, I'll use the UFC. You don't see guys in the UFC as much shit that they talk hitting each other with chairs. So if you made the presentation, and millions of people watch UFC, they charge big money for pay-per-views and everything because it, on the surface, it's legit. Wrestling needs to get back to how it was back then, a legit looking sport. When wrestling started in the turn of the century, it was a work, but nobody knew it was a work. They put plants, they would go from town to town, toughest guy with a heavyweight title, I'm challenging the crowd. And there was a plant in the crowd and everybody was like, yeah, this guy is going to, from my hometown, is going to beat the champ. But it was fixed, but nobody knew it because it was presented as legit. And until it's presented as legit, there's not a story to tell. And that's why guys like MJF are refreshing, because they don't do the other stuff. They tell a story. They get you a little bit worked up, depending on in what The Rock is doing, or Roman Reigns, or Paul Heyman's great at doing it, is they pull you in. And it's like, okay, you're not thinking this is fake. You're just pulled in. And that's what wrestling needs to get back to, like how the UFC is. They pull you in. You got somebody to root for. You want to see somebody get punched in the face. That's how it should work. But that's my diatribe on that.
No, that's it, man.
MJF's coming back. That's guaranteed. We already decided. So is AJ Lee. Have you seen her 8-pack on her pictures lately?
Yep.
Holy shit. The girl's 30, on fire.
She's 37, too, and she looks that good.
That's crazy.
Speaking of, let's talk Hall of Fame real quick.
Oh, geez.
Tom, you want to just drop the Bray Wyatt news about the Hall of Fame so we can put a pin in that rumor?
Yeah, last week I was saying that I had heard that I wouldn't have been surprised that Bray Wyatt goes in, and that was a rumor. Well, this week it was kind of poo-pooed on, and they came out and said that he's not going into the Hall this year, and the rumor is it's because on April 1st, they're releasing a huge documentary on Bray Wyatt on Peacock. And I guess when they told Peacock, they said that they would they weren't going to put him in this year. They're going to wait until a further date, a different date. So I don't know if it's going to be next year. So it's not going to happen this year.
So pretty much the Hall of Fame is set. Oh, go ahead, Brad. I have Chris, Brad.
What,
Brad and
what,
Chris.
What if they inducted like the whole Wyatt family, and then they could do him separately at another time? Because I know what that whole thing with, you know, I said it, just saying, you know, with the death of Harper, you know, I figured that's another reason to, you know,
put him in as like a group, just like an honorable mention kind of thing,
something like that. I would like to see it. I mean, I know the fans want it, of course.
What do you think, Tom?
I don't think the other guys were good enough. I think it's just him. But I will say, after you said that, it reminded me, I just read something. Tony Khan is actually talking about already starting a Hall of Fame for AEW, because he mentioned that the first white guy to be inducted would be Brody Lee.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. I don't know what to say about that. That's kind of tough, because I really liked him. I thought they didn't do what they should have done with him. I think they should have turned him into like a Monday Bruiser Brody with his look and the way he wrestled. Mm-hmm. And I think they should have just had him buzzsawing guys there, all those small guys and everything like that. They should have just had him cutting through guys, and instead of getting involved with that Dark Order BS and all that shit that kind of ruined his mystique of what he was. But hey, you never know. Speaking of that, let's, before we move on from the Hall of Fame, there was a video that got dropped by the Phantom this week of true Hall of Famers. Did you guys have a chance to see that?
Yeah,
I did.
Okay, I'm going to probably drop that in this episode right here.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
So thoughts on the Hall of Famers from the Phantom?
I thought it was great.
That's all you got?
No, I love these videos, man. I hope the Phantom keeps dropping them. They're hilarious. I'm going to get me a Phantom t-shirt. I'm his number one fan right now.
Chris, what do you think?
I mean, it's the Bushwhackers. You can't go wrong with the Bushwhackers, right? And with Tom and Ed's face on them, it made it so much better.
So we're going to talk to Gordon Sully of the podcast, the professor. Thomas, you saw the Phantom last weekend, and he dropped that video on you. What do you think?
Yet honestly, I take blame for some of this. It wasn't some of his best work. All I'll say is that we may or may not have gone out drinking after our baseball draft. And I mean, I'm going to blame myself, because he might have been doing that a little bit hungover. So, I mean, I've seen better work out of him, put it that way.
So the funny thing about the video that made me laugh is his selection of pictures. The one that he used was the one from when we went to Vegas, where you have the Elvis glasses on in the sideburns. So his selection of pictures was definitely a good take.
Really? Because I thought I had the beard. I thought that was one from me with the beach. I thought I had the beard. I think that's one from I was at the beach.
I stand corrected. I stand corrected. I thought it was the Elvis one from Vegas.
That's another thing. That's scary. He means he's creeping my page because he stole the
He is technically is your buddy. So if you block him from your page, that's kind of low. You're going to give the guy at least some material to work with.
Yeah.
So speaking of a Hall of Famer, Thomas, one of your segments since day one, Tom Shitty Picks, it's time to get after it.
Yes. This let me get my paper straight here.
His notes.
Is brought to you by Brock Street Brewing Company, located at 244 Brock Street South in Whitby, Ontario. The brewery is home to a banquet hall, an on-site restaurant, and a members-only lounge. Everything they brew is done in-house, including their sours, their lagers, and their vodka soda. They have something for everyone, so if you're in Whitby, go check them out and tell them 1973 Podcast sent you.
Yes, and be prepared to send in a video if you want to pay some cash.
So this past week, I took Zach Hyman. He's not doing too bad. He's got two goals so far in two games. He's got two goals. He's a plus two, 13 shots on goal, and he's playing right now. So I don't know what he's doing right now. They're playing Toronto. So it's not a bad week. And the fantasy hockey pool I'm in, he has 14 points. So that's not a bad week, but it's not as good as McDavid the week before. This week, I'm going a little off the board. I'm going to actually go change sports. I'm going to make my final four picks in college basketball.
Woo!
I'm going with UConn, Arizona, Houston, and Tennessee. And my finals, I'm going to have UConn beating Tennessee in the finals. UConn wins it all.
The Frozen Four is going on right now too, Tom.
Yes. Yep.
Any picks in that?
I haven't even seen the they haven't come out with the picks yet. I think that's tomorrow.
Okay.
Conference tournaments are going on right now.
All right. We'll have to get on that too.
Hey, Tom, do you have the Celtics records for Scotty, by the way?
Oh, remember Scotty.
He's got like 50. I don't have an official record, but I believe they have 54 wins.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to spread this a little sprinkle of the wrestling, but not so much. We're going to the man who was there last week with his own segment. Bradford's tinfoil hat. Brad, what do you got this week? You can't see it.
I know what I'm going to bring. Yeah, here we go, Tom. I see the tinfoil hat.
Ready?
That's Tommy's tinfoil yarmulke.
I don't want anyone reading my brain. Reading my mind.
Yeah, make sure you spray paint that thing blue so you're protected from the direct energy weapons.
That's right.
But so, this week's tinfoil hat, what we're going to talk about is John Cena. Right? So John Cena's been in the media recently for a lot of his hand signals. He likes to come out and do this, that hustle, loyalty, and respect. He puts up the three fingers. Everybody knows he comes out and does that. That is actually a sign that the Illuminati uses to signal 666. 666. This makes the – okay? So that already was called into question, right? Now we all know he's been pursuing movie roles and he wants to be a big time movie actor. He does all these voiceovers for Allstate and commercials and stuff like that. He's cameoed in a lot of things, but he hasn't had like full blown solo movies that have been like very, you know, well received with audiences.
Oh, come on. He's in the Marine. Come on.
Yeah. He had the Marine. So other than that, it's kind of like cameo roles. So people think that, with him coming out in the Oscars bucket-ass naked, that they're thinking that was kind of like this Illuminati humiliation ritual, which we all know, if you're deep into it, like down the rabbit hole like I am, they like to take people that are, you know, big, strong, masculine men, and they like to put them either in dresses or they like to make them do things like that where they're naked in front of a whole stage on TV and humiliate them to basically indoctrinate them into their cult or whatever you want to call it. So then they can then achieve elitism. So people think that John Cena sold out. And then his movie on Amazon Prime, the Ricky Stenicki, whatever you call it.
I watched it.
It's not that good. I don't know. Did you think it was good?
No, I thought it was a Farrelly Brothers movie because they always reference Providence and Rhode Island and all that stuff, which it is.
It is. But yeah.
It wasn't as good as other ones in the past. Me, Myself, and Irene is one of the best ones that they made.
Yeah, it was a very good movie. But in that movie, John Cena wears a skirt and high heels, right? So again, Cat Williams kind of alluded to this whole thing, especially with black male actors. They like to make them wear dresses in movies and TV shows to, in order to, like, hey, wear this dress, do this dumbass movie, and you'll get 10 more movies,
Like The Rock and the Tooth Fairy.
The Tooth Fairy and his latest Zoa commercial, bro. Just going to say that, man. And a lot of these actors have done it, and they sell out, and they get, a lot of movie deals. I mean, The Rock did Tooth Fairy and kind of blew up. Started getting a lot of movies after that. So I don't know.
So what's the rumor? It's you do the humiliation thing and it's 20 movies, 20 million to start, right? Isn't that what Cat Williams had said?
It's like a 10 movie deal. Yeah, something like that. Yep.
Thomas, you want to know where you can sign up?
Yes. Also, I want to tell the viewers that if we mysteriously disappear off of the formats, that blame Brad because he pissed off the Illuminati.
No, okay. I'm just going to put on my dress and strut my stuff. I'm going to be okay. The four of you, I don't got nothing you guys are on your own.
So maybe or maybe not that I cannot divulge too much information, but we'll move on from the subject that somebody on this podcast may or may not be a Freemason out of the five of us. I know somebody that is, so you could you never know. You never know who's moving mountains around on this thing. So, Chris, you want to add anything, Ed?
Yeah, I seen the Freemason sticker on the back of your car. I know a couple too myself.
Me? Not me. Whoa, why would I say that? Ed?
What?
You want to add anything, Ed, before we move
on?
No,
I got nothing.
Okay. No, I got... Good and you? Good job, Ed.
Thanks. 229. 229.
After the tinfoil hat, I don't really know how to move on at all from that. Yeah, but
groundbreaking.
Well, let's kind of break protocol here for a second. So, you are wearing your Flyer shirt tonight. So what's going on with our boy Torts, man?
So the John Tortorella thing, I was talking with the Phantom about it. And what I think is going on is there was – the suspension that he got for yelling at the referees for a couple games. I don't know when he wasn't around, if stuff went on with the captain and the rest of the team, maybe thought that they should have rallied a little harder. Not that they played bad. They got points out of it with him not there. It just maybe something got back to him that maybe there was some shit talking or maybe there was something that was said and caused some kind of controversy, and maybe Torts came back and handled the situation. I don't think he's split in the room. I found it ironic that Torts was suspended for two games, and they sat Katori for two games, just like a yin to the yang, and they played well either way. They played well with Katori in the lineup. I like him. He's one of my favorites. He's a grinder. He'll give you everything he's got. And I love Torts because everybody that plays for him after the fact says what a great person he is, what a great guy he is. Like, he's very approachable. He's blue collar and he's from the great state of Massachusetts. So we can't hate on the Torts. I love him. I just think that eventually if they do something with, I don't know if Tom will agree with me, but if they do end up moving on from him, I think the guy that's in the queue is Craig Berube. He's the perfect guy to bring back there. He's got a Stanley Cup ring, and the Chief, he's a player's guy, and he's a full tilt Flyer. And speaking of that, let me mention this. It was sad to hear that a guy that is in our age demographic at 52 years old, Chris Simon, passed away. That guy, if you ever watched him play, he was definitely one of those guys you did not cross. It's sad that when these guys pass, they get their due after the fact. When they were here, they never get the highlight reels. They never get the YouTube clicks. But after they pass, they get all this notoriety and people go back and they they look and see about their contributions. Now, there's a guy that you did not give him the two-hander, because once you gave him the two-hander, it was on like Donkey Kong. I saw a couple of clips of guys trying to get cute with him, and it was not a pretty sight what happened from that. Tom, thoughts on the passing of Chris Simon at the age of 52?
Pretty sad. They say he committed suicide, unfortunately. His family, I mean, you can't really say this for sure until now, because they can't do anything with the brain until you've passed. But his family suspects he had CTE from fighting in the NHL, which he had over, I think, 100 fights in the league, 15 years. He was the guy, he won a Stanley Cup. And he brought two, he was with two others in the finals. What's that, Ed?
He won the Cup with the Habs, you know?
Yeah, yep. And then everything I've heard about him, I mean, he was a tough guy on the ice, but off the ice, everything I've ever heard about the guy was, and you hear this a lot about the enforcers, where they're totally opposite of what they are on the ice. They're really nice guys. So, I mean, it's a shame. You don't want to see anyone pass away, but hopefully they can figure something out with the CTE problem.
Sure. I mean, my thing about it is he was a great player. He really was. He played the game the way that it should be played. I too was speaking. I did not go out and have beverages with the Phantom. However, I did talk to the Phantom rather extensively this week. And yeah, I agreed. It was like, you know, he played, you know, he was playing hockey since he was four, you know, and he retired what, at 35? That's 31 years of playing hockey. You know, there's a lot of whiplash that happens, you know, that we all know from playing the game. And, you know, when you go up against that plexiglass, especially playing, I mean, you know, playing those MDC rinks that we grew up playing in, that was like hitting concrete. So I would assume a lot of the rinks up in Canada are the same way. And that whiplash effect, that rattles the brain probably sometimes a little bit more than a punch does. And, you know, I mean, he did have some substance abuse issues that he did. And, you know, I think a lot of it, too, is that, you know, I mean, none of us ever played at that level. But I will say that, you know, that I look at it this way, that, you know, I mean, after so many years of playing in the league, and all of a sudden, you know, the cheering stops, and now you go back home, and, you know, you used to ride around in, you know, nice buses and everything like that, really, really nice cars and that type of thing. And you don't have that money anymore. You're back to your hometown, and it's like, hey, man, what happened to you? Why are you back here? That could be part of it, too. And, you know, alcoholism and CTE, they all kind of wrap around each other. And, you know, that definitely is not a great mix. So it's very sad. Great player. Definitely played the game the way it should be played every night.
Chris, want to add before we...
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this stuff scares me in a way. You can mention other guys, too. Bugard, right? He was a big fighter. I think he had 190 fights over his NHL career.
Well, Probert.
Yeah, Probert was another one. So, like, this just makes me think, of course, Gary Bettman's getting all kind of questions on interviews, and, of course, they want the NHL to do something about this. But then it takes away from the game, right? Because then they stop putting in, you know, just like we see in the NFL with these kickoff returns completely taken out of. What are they going to take away from the NHL? Are they going to start, you know, stop fights? And it's just going to take away from the game. Unfortunately, I may take the asshole perspective on this, but like, these guys sign up to play a game. They sign up to fight. They do what they do to make their money, to be noticed. And then at the end of the day, families, whatever, come back, try to sue, and it just becomes a big issue. And what do? They attack the game. Oh, we got to change this. We got to stop this. And for me, it kind of puts a hurting on, we see it, with pretzel hurt, and on the sports once too many of the big wigs behind the scenes get involved and start changing shit. So unfortunately, I'm afraid that, you know, the more and more this gets brought up and more it continues to be talked about, and I'm not saying that it shouldn't, obviously, but at the same point, it's like it's going to take away from the NHL that we grew up loving and watching.
Chris's point. I mean, but the three people that you name all had substance abuses. So, you know, substance abuse and bangs to the head, you know, that's not a great mix. So, you know, maybe we should do a little bit more for guys actually, you know, dealing with the demons as far as like alcoholism. I mean, probably had a huge issue with drugs and alcohol, you know? And so, I mean, it's one of those things. It's definitely, and I agree with your point of, you know, hey, these guys know what they're doing. You know, you can change your life with a stroke of a pen. At 18 years old, you can become a millionaire for playing a kid's game. That speaks very loudly to you. So I agree with you on that point. Absolutely, Chris. You know, but maybe we should do some things more about, like, instead of messing with the integrity of the game and taking fighting out, how about we actually, like, help these guys, maybe with the guys that had the substance abuse problems, and that may cut a lot more of this problem out.
Listen, I'm going to take the stand on this. I hate them talking about taking fighting out of the game for multiple different reasons, with the league getting more watered down. We've had that conversation that every time you add teams, you add more guys in the league that don't deserve to play at that level. That's what I'm saying. And that's, we've talked about that multiple times. But when you have slap fighting where two people can stand at a podium and slap each other, that's more of a CTE situation than two guys squaring up that can play an actual sport at whatever level you can define that. But you got the UFC, those guys are getting punched in the head. You got boxing, that guys are getting punched in the head. This is a very small amount of the game that actually is a momentum swing for a lot of teams, a game within a game. Hockey is one of those games that has a lot of mini games inside of one big game. And when you take the fighting out, something that brings and puts asses in seats just because of big corporations don't want to get involved because they've never played the game and they're just trying to sell advertising space, doesn't work for me. It does not work for me. So until they clean up the slap fighting and the UFC and boxing and bare knuckle this and all that stuff, I don't want to hear nothing about two guys squaring up for 2 seconds and they're not even stepping into punches. If you watch a lot of hockey fights, it's all arms and shoulders. They're not stepping into anything most of the time, and it's done within like maybe 2 minutes. So my diatribe on that is
maximum 2 minutes.
Well, hey, that's how it is. That's why we're on here. We're talking some sports, getting a little passionate about certain things that mean a lot to us. And being around.
But it also protects the other players too, man. Like, it keeps sticks down.
So let me. I wasn't going to bring this up, but this is perfect for example. So sure. We had a playoff game today. I know Chris had a playoff game this weekend. I saw something pretty awful. That play was going up the other way, and there was a kid coming around the back of the net, opposing player, and he gave a kid a two-hander right in the back of that, right in the back of the neck. Bare neck, right in the back of the neck. Nobody saw it. The play was going the other way, so nobody saw it, not even the referees. The kid was down on the ice. I could hear him crying. Now, this is a 12-year-old kid crying down on the ice. They took him off the ice. Now, I've seen a lot of kids lay on the ice, but not always. It's like 9 out of 10 times, it's not legit. This time, they took the kid off the ice. He didn't play another shift. He had a legit concussion. Legit concussion. Mm. Now, there's no way for anybody to straighten that kid out. That kid that hit him shouldn't be allowed to do that. And there's no repercussion because nobody saw it. But, you know, everything that you do should have consequences, good, bad, or indifferent. You give out a lot of positive, you should get a lot of positive back. Give out a lot of negative, you should get negative back. And that's negative. Nobody saw it, but I'm talking at a pro level. Somebody does something dumb, there should be somebody to come to the aid. That's what a team sport is. That's what sitting in the locker room with a bunch of guys trying to achieve an ultimate goal and coaching behind that, it just doesn't work. So, you know, that's why you need enforcers in hockey, and that's why you need the right guys to stand up for the right players at the right times. Mm-hmm. So, well, let's end the enforcer talk, and we're going to move on to talk about great sponsor, Purchase Street Records. Go ahead, Tom.
Okay. This week's album of the week is brought to you by Purchase Street Records, which is located at 53 Pope's Island, Unit 2, New Bedford, Mass. You can also visit them online at purchasestrecords.com or on their Facebook page. Purchase Street Records is Southern New England's largest independent record store. Now, April 20th, people should start saving up their pennies if you're in the South Coast area. April 20th is National Record Store Day. So go out. I know they've got a ton of records there for you. Go save up your money and go check them out.
So let's wrap this episode up with some shout outs. I got something special I want to mention. I'll start this one off. Came out of retirement last night. Started my weekend off on a Friday night. Played a parents versus kids game for my kids' junior high team. I hadn't played in a whole calendar year since last year. I told the kids going into it, don't embarrass me, because I'm going to score more than you guys did. Outscored both of them combined with only playing once in 365 days. So the kids were very butthurt. And it led to today where my son had a playoff game, the one game I was just talking about. It was tied 1-1. They scored with a minute left. The opposing team, they pulled the goalie. My son was on the ice. He scored the goal to tie, to go into overtime. That place blew up. I never heard a cheer like that ever before. I had actual goosebumps when he scored. Nice. It was the first time ever that's ever happened. The crowd was unbelievable. And it was probably the best overall 60 minutes of hockey I've ever seen that kid play. He was balls out, back checking, forechecking on everybody, shots on net, going hard to the net. It was unbelievable. So shout out to my son, the sauce. You played a big game today, and Dad's proud of you.
That's awesome.
Awesome. It's the birthday.
Who's up? Tom?
I got nothing this week.
Chris?
Yeah, not much going on with me here. I guess I'll throw a little Mr. Scotty Too Hottie from Ontario, a little bone. The Celtics are 56-14. They're playing the bullshit Bulls that are below 500, and it's a pretty close game right now in the second quarter.
Nobody's playing for the C's. They're all out sitting.
No excuse.
Ed, you got a shout out this week?
I just want to say thanks to the fans. I appreciate them reaching out during the week. And that's pretty much what I got for this week.
All right, Bradford, you're on the clock. You got a pizza waiting. You're going to bring us home this week. Let's go.
Yo, I'm so sorry I had to miss last week. But Chris gave my little man the shout out. I was out for a reason. We had a two-day tournament compressed into one day because of weather. We won second place, which – for these boys, second place is still fun because they all get this really tacky championship ring. So I hope we get more of those. We don't have anything this weekend, but next week it's supposed to be another tournament, whatever. But so thanks for letting me take the night off, fellas. Chris, thanks for the mic. Can't wait till that thing gets here. And yo, shout out to the sauce, man. You guys go play that hockey. Y'all do the thing. You know, we've been cheering for y'all from down here in Mississippi. I don't know jack shit about hockey.
It's coming.
It's coming, bro.
The playoffs are coming, Brad. We're counting on you.
I don't know anything about hockey.
Doesn't matter. You're in it. You're in it.
It doesn't matter. But yep. I love hearing when youth sports, you know, take off and people do great things. I think that's super exciting when people cheer for it. You know, the roar of the crowd. You can't beat it, man. So, yeah, shout out to y'all. You know, good on you guys for coaching your kids and getting them out there to play and stuff too, man, because – God bless America, dude. It is stressful sometimes.
So glad it's over.
And I'm just getting started.
I think this is the third time I said this. I'm officially retired. No more coaching. I'm just going to just watch from afar. I went to tryouts this week with the other one. She's got a playoff game tomorrow. We went to about three different tryouts. I was so overwhelmed with coaches trying to sign her. It was unbelievable. It was like... Mm. I had to say, listen, I gotta go home.
NIL deal, you can be.
I'm getting anxiety. They were making
NIL.
I tell you the truth, they wouldn't let. We went to one tryout to start the week. The coach wouldn't let me leave. I thought I was buying a car. I thought he was taking my keys. Like, we're not gonna let you go. We don't want your tryout anywhere else. I'm like, I already paid. We gotta go other places. I got other commitments, and then. Then the phone wouldn't stop ringing from Thursday, Friday of last week. I'm like, listen, I gotta cut this off. This is too much. And then finally got to the point where I said, where do you want to play? Wherever you want to play, you tell me where you want to play, and that's it. And she picked her place, and we're off to greener pastures next year and bigger things. And, you know, we'll keep hope alive, as they say. And from you guys from my family to your family. We got the fan club membership. We hope that everybody joins. We get to interact with people and bring new people on the podcast, hopefully. And don't be cheap. Just buy a shirt. I think the first membership starts at like $4.99. And then you get a whole year of discount off the store. So for $4.99, have fun with it. Throw us a bone. Get us going. And, you know, set the tone, as they say. Set the tone with that fan club. Right, Ed?
Absolutely. Set the tone.
Stick they call us names.
In this side, let them know you're there. Hey, tell Carter congratulations, man. That's awesome stuff, man.
I will. He's on cloud nine today. So
it's the birthday thing, I think, you know? It's the birthday.
Let's go. So we'll see you next week for episode 5-9. Right, Thomas?
Yeah. Yes.
All right. Later, fellas.
Later, boys.